Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast, episode 38. I'm Mel. Hi, Luke and Elle.
Hello. Hi, Mel.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. The latest issue of Metal Hammer is still on sale right now. We've got the Halloween Spectacular, if you're in the need to get in the spooky mood.
Spooktacular.
We got you covered. I should have said Spooktacular. I dropped that one, didn't I? Rob Zombie, Kirk Hammett, John Carpenter, Kane Hodder, a.k.a. Jason Voorhees, Doug Pinhead Bradley, Wednesday 13, Nicolas Cage is in there, Goblin, Opeth, Ghost. It's spooky as shit. It's really good. It's on sale now. Go pick it up immediately. We're also dropping a special Rob Zombie bundle later this week, so watch out for that. Cool art print in there. It looks wicked. And if you are a Slayer fan, and heaven knows what you're doing listening to this podcast, if you're not, we are inviting every Slayer fan in the known world to be a part of a very special tribute cover we are putting out this December. You can be on the cover of Metal Hammer. It's a once in a lifetime thing. We're very excited about it. Obviously, Slayer currently on their final world tour, stopping off in the UK this November. In December, we're going to be launching our massive Slayer tribute issue. What we want you to do is to email us metalhammer@futurenet.com with a photo of yourself throwing the metal horns, shouting Slayer as loudly as you can. That's all you need to do. You can also tweet us, Facebook us, or Instagram us your photo using the hashtag SlayerHorns. And we will use all of them for a special collage we're going to put on the cover of Metal Hammer in December. It's going to be massive. It's going to be unlike anything we've done before. It's going to be absolutely wicked. And there are T&Cs if you want to know the legalities of doing that kind of thing. It's all very straightforward. But you can check those out at tinyurl.com/SlayerTCs. So yeah, that's going to be good, isn't it?
Yes.
Have you submitted yours yet?
I've not actually, no. I need to start screaming.
Sort it out.
I'm sorry.
Sort it out. Get your best Slayer poses with us. We're going to be, it's going to be huge, multi-page tribute thing coming in December. We're really stoked on it. We'll work on it right now. And we want you all involved because I think one of the biggest things that makes Slayer who they are is the fans. And we want to recognise that. So be a part of Metal Hammer, be on the cover. Yeah, you will probably likely never get a chance to do something like this again because it's a once in a lifetime thing. So join us, get your Slayer horns up. It's been a busy week, hasn't it?
It has.
Been a very busy week.
Goodness gracious me.
Is it only Wednesday?
It is only Wednesday. Thursday, as you're listening to this, loyal Metal Hammer readers. What's everyone been up to? It's that time of the year where it's just gig after gig after gig.
Yeah, there's nothing
for
ages.
I'm loving it.
And now we've been everywhere. Like me and UL, where did we go? Went to the Black Queen at Bush Hall in London.
We did.
How was that?
I'll let you go first.
Wasn't this 2 weeks ago?
It was. We forgot to mention it last week.
Oh, okay.
I put that in brackets.
Sorry, Luke. I enjoyed it. I've seen them twice before. I've seen them at the Ozzo in East London, and I think it was the Jazz Cafe in North London. And the first gig was really great because it's the first time they played. Everyone was really up for it. The second gig was great. It was even bigger, and they had this stage that Greg was going crazy on, like running around. And again, you felt kind of really sucked in by it, and it was an exciting time. When we saw them at Bush Hall, I felt very distanced. Mm. You know, we were kind of further away from stage. It was a bigger venue. I felt a bit like the music got lost, like Greg wasn't moving around as much. Personally, for me, the sub was a massive issue as well. Like, the sound was not great for me. I just felt like the bass was, like, really, really high, and it was kind of ruining my enjoyment of a bit of the music. And so I liked seeing the songs because I really enjoy them. I like watching them perform, but I didn't really feel anything. I just kind of felt a bit like I was watching TV or watching a film.
Yeah, it felt very cold.
A bit sterile.
Yeah, which is just the biggest thing. I've only seen them once before. I was at the Oslo gig with you. And Greg just, he was throwing himself around the stage, not so much as he did with Dillinger, but he putting some, you know, running around, hitting things, whatever. But yeah, when we saw them at Bush Hall, he was just standing pretty much still or just doing a little bit of a dance. And it was very much sucked the energy out of the room. Everyone was just sort of stood still for the majority of it. There was no dancing, really. It was very weird. I think you described it at the time, I know, like it was like watching a music video.
Yeah, did feel like that.
And yeah, I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed by the gig. If I'm honest, after what I saw at Oslo, I was really, really up for Black Queen coming out and, you know, kicking the shit out of Bush Hall or whatever. But yeah, it just felt very sterile and I'm just very odd. It felt like something was off all night and it didn't connect. I just can't put my finger on why.
Yeah, there was a distance, definitely. I don't know whether it was because the new material's a bit more like that, or whether it's the size of the venue.
They played mainly old stuff, though.
Yeah, they did play a lot of the old stuff. I don't know. I feel like you. It was just, I'd like to see them again. I wouldn't, you know, stop going to see them because of that one show, but it was missing a little bit of something for me, too.
Luke, tell me about Idols.
They are the best band in the world.
Tell me why we're talking about them on Metal Hammer.
We're not really. Only because
I'm listed here.
Only because it's the best gig I've seen this year.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of people might not be aware of this band, even though they've got quite a lot of hype in certain sectors.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing very well for themselves. Got a number 5 album. They were on Jules Holland doing one of their songs. Danny Nedelko, I think it was. And yeah, basically they are a punk band. Very much not a metal band, but they're a punk band. From Bristol, and they got their second album, Joy Is An Act of Resistance, out a month or two ago. And yeah, like I say, it did very well, and everyone's jumped on it. But I'd never seen them live before, and I went along to the Forum, which they sold out. I think the whole tour sold out. And it was like nothing I've ever seen, but like the amount of unity in that room and the amount of togetherness is like nothing I've ever felt before, like at any gig, metal, rock or otherwise. Like everyone there was so believing in that band and as in willing them to succeed, but also so sternly, you know, behind everything they're singing about, which is, you know, very much, you know, toxic masculinity and very liberal left-wing viewpoints about life in general. The whole thing was just so weird because it was a really weird mix of people from all ages. Like I was stood there with my friend, well, with Bryony, who worked on Louder. And we were stood behind two massive guys who, like, you know, like big, you know, burly punk men. And then in front of them was like a skinny little boy who was like losing his mind at every single song, clearly working through something. But there was like, so this together, this is sort of unspoken, like, yeah, we're all in this because we all believe in this band. And like the floor of, like the balcony of the Forum was actually bouncing at one point. I thought it was all going to fucking, yeah, all going to crumble. But like this, the singer, I forget his name now, of Idols, was like he was in tears at one point. The whole thing just felt so emotional and momentous. I was like, yeah, when you're singing along to a song and you're so happy that your eyes start watering.
Yes,
that happened like 4 times, like, wow, during that gig. Yeah, I was just like, this is fucking incredible. And yeah, I just loved it, and I just couldn't. It annoyed me to a point where I was like, what? That I don't feel like this when I'm watching, you know, bands I like more than this. But I think as a live band and as a band that is actually saying something right now, I thought it was fucking incredible.
But if something's that good, it's just that good.
No, exactly, completely. I think it was amazing. I really want to see them again, and I'm sure they'll end up doing, they'll probably do Brixton on this run at the end of it, and I'm sure they'll end up doing Leeds and Glastonbury and all that. But
wow,
I reckon there's something very special going on with these guys. And yeah, it was just an amazing gig to go to. Like, if you are a fan of, you know, the punkier end of, you know, rock music, because they sort of lean on like the stuff like the Clash, but also like Joy Division and the Fall. It's all very British. I don't know how it's going to translate across the pond if they ever try. But there's a sort of sarcastic, dry humour to everything he does, and references to Love Island in the lyrics. But yeah, it's just fucking brilliant. I can't get enough of that band. Like, since then, I've listened to both albums pretty much non-stop on Spotify, which has ruined my Discover playlist quite a lot. It's just like,
I hate when that happens. Yeah. You get something a little bit out of left field, and then all of a sudden your daily mixes is fucked.
It's like all the bands just recommend me. I'm just like, no, don't care.
Well, that's cool.
But yeah, I loved it so much. I needed to tell the world.
Good. Well, consider them told.
Yeah.
God, it's just been a great week for gigs. Friday night in London, there was Marmosets, Black Peaks, Crossfaith, Saxon, Sinsanum. I think I've missed one and I can't think of it, but there was another one as well. There was loads going on. I managed to get to 2 of them. Nice. I went to see the first half of Crossfaith and the second half of Black Peaks. I was at Black Peaks as well. Crossfaith just reliably is always one of the best live bands in metal. I still think the old material sounds so much better live than the new material. When they played Monolith, the step up from all the other stuff was really, really noticeable. same with Jägerbomb. I do think the new stuff sounds really great live, but I still just think on record it's just not up to the other stuff they've done. Still doing that Omen cover.
Really?
I think it's time to drop that from the set now. It's been like 6 years. You are seriously in danger of becoming that band that plays that cover if you keep on.
It's
got to go.
It still boots off every time they do it, though.
It does, totally, but I just think, you know, or just, you know, do a different cover. Like, yeah, with a band that good, they just cover something else. Maybe I'm being a bit cynical, but I don't know, I just found that a bit like, come on, you're like five albums in now or whatever it is. So yeah, that was really good. Then went to join L for the second half of Black Peaks Underworld. That was a bit good, wasn't it?
Yeah, really good. I just really want to see them in a bigger venue now because it just felt like they really needed to expand. But yeah, it's great. They've just had a new record out. Remind me the name.
All That Divides Us?
Yeah.
All the Divides.
Ah, shit.
Which is really cool, so definitely check that out. And yeah, they were just like so happy to be there. The crowd were really into it. Like,
yeah, it's great. High emotion in the crowd, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of good crowd surfing and just really good atmosphere. I just want to see them somewhere bigger.
Yeah, definitely. What a brilliant band. And speaking of which, Elle and I also went to see Carpenter Brut and
yes.
Ghost/Gost, as in the skull dudes,
G-O-S-T.
Not the big band.
G-O-S-T.
It's the third time I've seen Carpenter Brut this year, so it's your first time seeing them, so you should probably take this one.
Yeah, I loved it so much. I really like that record, Love the Teeth, the surprise one that came out this year. And I'd never seen them live, so I didn't really know what to expect. I guess, first of all, we should just mention Ghost/Ghost. I think he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it felt like he just needed a little bit more confidence and a little bit more of a show, because it was kind of him and his laptop and some cool like lights he had around him, which is good.
And he was dressed kind of like the Locust or kind of something like a mushroom head or something.
Yeah, or like a maggoty Slipknot mask and kind of a robe. And I really enjoyed it because I love that record, Possessor. It's great. And the songs that he sings on as well, they sounded really good. I think they're some of his strongest stuff, the ones with the lyrics.
It's kind of I felt like the opposite of Black Peaks. I want to see Ghost in a smaller bar,
yeah,
which I know he did do the Black Heart and I couldn't make it, but I'd like to see him in a better suited environment.
Yeah, I think if there's a little bit of a way to go until he can kind of hold a stage, but I really liked what I saw.
That Nine Inch Nails cover was awful though.
That was terrible. I love Nine Inch Nails. It's Head Like a Hole.
What song did he cover?
Head Like a Hole.
Oh.
And
and he did it in a kind of weird tone, which maybe it sounds very on record, but then he like really screeched.
It's sort of like a black
chorus,
metal
like,
yeah.
And it's like, no.
I was super excited. I was like, oh, it's Nine Inch Nails, this is the best thing ever. And I was like, oh no.
He held the mic out to the crowd and everyone was just like,
But you've got to have something about his try and take on Nine Inch Nails. So I'm, looking forward to seeing what he does next. But Carpenter Brut, because I've never seen them, they basically just blew him off the stage because they had a massive light show, like an insane light show, lights reaching all the way to the back of the venue. And the sound was just awesome. It sounded way more industrial than it does when you listen to it, because they're obviously kind of an 80s synthwave retro future type band, and it just had this big industrial massive sound. And the visuals were awesome as well. They've got all the kind of leather teeth visuals, like, sort of he's meant to be this character who's a serial killer, and they've got all these old clips from 80s movies and Bloody Cheerleaders and a parody of Metal Hammer magazine called, what's it called? It's called something else, like...
Oh, Metal Hamster or something.
There's kind of some... MTV is called something else as well.
Yeah, HTV or something again, yeah.
It's yeah,
like,
it's all very 80s parodies, and it's just so much fun. And it just made me want to go home and, get out my cheerleader outfit and dance around the house and watch movies and go, Carpenter Brut are great.
So good. I just realised I've technically seen them four times this year, because they did, of course, play the Golden Gods as well. Goodness gracious me. But yeah, loved it. Just, I tweeted afterwards, I think that, and this is bearing in mind how good Ghost are at the moment to watch live, I think Carpenter Brut is the most fun night out in the metal world at the moment. It's just,
of course,
love
I
it.
Did, I did see our song on Golden Gods, but this was like
a bit different,
full show.
Yeah, like they're on early and not as partisan a crowd and stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. We mentioned earlier, it's been a busy week. It's been a very busy week indeed, right across the board. We have a download announcement.
Yay!
And it is a big one.
A very big
goodness,
one.
Goodness gracious me, look at this. Download June 14th to 16th, 2019, the biggest rock and metal festival in the UK, of course. How's this for a set of headliners, first of all? Def Leppard playing Hysteria in full, Slipknot and Tool.
Yes!
What are we saying about those three? Def Leppard on the Friday night as well. Big change to the tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually a Sunday classic rock, so that's a bit weird.
Very interesting. So what are we thinking about that? Is that going to work? People going to be...
I can't see it not working.
It's Tool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you mean the Sunday. I meant, is Def Leppard on the Friday going to work?
Yeah, I think it is, because realistically,
this year, you could have argued the Saturday was also a classic, was classic rock day, because Guns N' Roses, that entire main stage was classic rock bands. Yeah, Ozzy was on the Sunday, but you also had fucking Amon Amarth, I think, and Manson on. So I don't think it necessarily matters what day it is, but it might be interesting to see what they do with the other two or three stages while Def Leppard are on, to try and counteract that, you know, 40-year-old, you know, legacy band with maybe something new, something heavier, maybe. Quite nice.
Well, I mean, there's lots of other bands announced as well, so let's run through those. Slash, featuring Miles Kennedy, of course, he's playing. Interesting. I mean, yeah, he could be supporting Def Leppard, I guess. He, on the poster, he's listed as, it looks like he's set up on the Friday, but we don't really know if that's the case or not. D'Antvoord.
Yeah!
Now, this is the one for me. I know Tool's obviously massive, and we'll get to that. Slipknot as well, but D'Antvoord at Download. Oh my goodness, that is going to be insane.
So much fun.
Saw them at Reading about 3 years ago, and it was the best thing I saw. Oh yeah, of course, it was the best thing I saw all summer, I think, that year. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Stupid amounts of fun.
I can't wait.
So much fun.
Whitesnake as well. Yeah. Classic rock legendary lads. Rob Zombie and Trivium, a big band, isn't it?
Excited for that.
Amon Amarth, Carcass, Delane, Me First, and the Gimme, that's a shame. Opeth, Power
Why
Trip.
Why do they keep popping up everywhere?
Because people like shit music. Power Trip, Real Big Fish, come on, Power Trip.
Yeah.
Skin Dread, Starset, Tesla, The Amity of Fiction, and Under Oath. Massive.
I really hope Power Trip get on the main stage. They're like the first band on the main stage or something. That'd be fucking amazing.
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
Or they're really high up in the tent and everyone comes out with a bloody nose.
If Power Trip headline in that tent on the Friday night, I will be there. In the shadow of a doubt.
I'd like to see you with a bloody nose, Luke.
Thanks.
Lovely. Slipknot and Tool, I guess the big thing about this is that this, once again, re-emphasises that we're getting new Slipknot and Tool albums next year.
Yeah, pretty well. We knew the Slipknot one was coming next year. We all had an inkling it was, but yeah, whenever it's all said there's an album coming, you never really know whether they're telling the truth or not. But I guess, and they've also announced a European tour off the back of that. They're doing a load of festivals, the same as Slipknot, so you've got to imagine, yeah, it'll either be out before then or just after then, to get everyone really excited. I'm into it. But
I'm going to go and try and see them in Europe as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Like maybe Berlin or something.
Cool, good to know.
Just planning my calendar.
Having a lovely time.
Sweet.
Yeah.
There's enough there to make me very excited.
I think it's a really good... it's a flawless mix of genres, really. There's not a lot there that's not represented. You've got extreme metal, kind of more arena metal, classic rock, Viking metal, very specifically.
It is very...
Ragga metal.
It is very metal, though. Like, considering...
It is,
they, yeah. They have obviously, I'm sure there's much more pop punk stuff to come because they've had that Avalanche stage the past 2 years, which is mainly the slam dunk end of the rock spectrum. But the first announcement is pretty much heavy bands.
This is my favourite announcement they've done in years.
Yeah,
just straight out the gates, just tons of heavy.
I mean, even the kind
bands.
Of the kind of quote unquote classic rock bands like Def Leppard / Whitesnake as well. Like, make no mistakes about it, Whitesnake have riffs. They are not just some kind of like cheesy your dad's favourite rock band like they can jam. There's a lot of heavy stuff on here.
I am well up.
Yeah, Carcass will be wicked. Trivium off the bat. I mean, I'm really, I think out of all the bands, actually the one I'm most interested to see where they are is Trivium, because they've just had their best year in about a decade, and I'm really interested to see where that will place them on Download, because it's their festival. Them in 2005 is one of the all time great Download memories. Yeah, where would you put Trivium?
Main stage.
Where?
You could put them on before Slipknot, but I'd argue there's another band you could fit between Trivium and Slipknot these days.
Could that be? I mean, I kind of feel like it looks like it might be D'Antvoord.
It does
because they've got a logo, yeah. But there's a fucking last time D'Antvoord played London, I think they did Brixton.
They did, yeah.
So yeah,
and when I saw them,
when
they did Reading,
they're mid-afternoon.
Mid-afternoon. And I feel like they're probably a bigger deal to Reading than...
Yeah, that's the thing. I think because it's their first booking at Danode, I'd be surprised if they're the ones trusted with doing an hour before Slipknot come on.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Because I think that'll take off that...
You could put Rob Zombie on before Slipknot. I think if you could put Rob Zombie Slipknot,
that'd be amazing.
That'd be my favourite
back that. Yeah, or, I mean, Trivium... Rob Zombie, could be really decent second stage headliners in place of Def Leppard, I guess. But yeah, it's like you said, it's so metal that it's like, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of clashes, is what I'm getting at. Because on this first thing, I'm not sure where you could put bands that, I don't know, fascinated to see how it all fits together. Too many good bands already on the first announcement, basically.
Good.
Great. Well done, Download. Very, very excited. Yeah, there'll be more announcements in the coming weeks and months. Obviously, stay tuned to metalhammer.com to see all of those. We did ask the good people of the Metal Hammer Facebook readers group, facebook.com/metalhammerreaders.
Nice.
Yes!
Here's what someone
said. I'm glad you asked. David Connell said, fucking immense. I haven't seen Tool since Download 2006. I think that's most people in England, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I've given up hope for them coming over here. So for me, this is massive. Plus, look at that undercard. Slash, Trivium, Power Trip, Opeth, Rob Zombie. It'll be Clash City, but who cares? Naomi Sanders says, I'm just hyped for Tool, though the headliners are not on the days I think they would be. I'm excited to see what else is announced for the festival. Ewan Taylor says, awesome.
Thanks, Ewan.
Insightful. Ben Wilmot says, very good lineup. There's a fair few bands who aren't around. Often they've done well here. There's a bit for everyone. Saket says, why are Diavra there? They're a hip hop group in a rock metal fest. Sounds kind of odd. So interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a festival that has previously booked Chase and Status, The Prodigy and Lethal Bizzle, amongst others.
Yeah, true. I can see why it's, you know, people are confused by it, but realistically there's alternative as alternative gets.
I was literally about to say that. Massive alternative band.
And yeah, that is still very much an alternative festival, you know, celebrates alternative culture, which is, you know, very much what Diablo are doing in a very tongue-in-cheek, silly way. But
totally took us unaware as well, didn't it? Because we get you know, for obvious reasons, we get a bit of a heads up on Download announcements, and we had no idea about Diablo.
Yeah, we didn't know until
went around the office when that got announced. It was great.
Yeah,
so cool.
If you don't know them as well, obviously listen to them, but watch Chappie as well. They're in that movie. It's a great movie.
Just
watch the video for Fatty Bum Bum. That's the one.
Baby's on Fire, so many tunes.
Enter the Ninja.
Ugly Boy. Oh my goodness me.
Ugly Boy.
Banana Brain. Just, yeah, great, great band. I mean, I'm, you know, you don't want festivals to get too diluted, but there's tons of great, technically speaking, non-rock or metal bands that could play Download. I've said for a couple of years now, I'd love to see Run the Jewels at Download. I think they would absolutely kill it. Many others as well. You could probably book Eminem for Download, to be honest. I don't know if he'd do it, because, you know, he can do his own stadium shows these days. Yeah. But.
And he wasn't great at Reading last time, to be fair.
No, all the time before that, so, yeah, don't do that. Pretend that didn't happen. What else has been going on? So much happening in metal.
There's a new Bring Me the Horizon song.
Yes.
Featuring Danny Filth.
Speaking of swerves, that's a swerve, isn't it? Danny Filth.
He'd been teasing something on Instagram by putting up pictures of him in a supermarket in full corpse paint.
Right.
So when that video came out, I was like, oh, that's what it was for. He's obviously filming the Bring Me video.
What do we think of the song?
I quite like it.
I love the song. It really reminds me.
I'm not too bothered.
The riff is really like Gojira's The Cell. Like, it's really kind of hard riff that keeps repeating. But it's got a bit more bounce because it's Bring Me.
Well, apparently it was written for the Limp Bizkit album and then that happened. So
I want to hear those outtakes.
Bring Me said that they were writing for Limp Bizkit. I've got to say, obviously Bring Me are fantastic songwriters, but you've got fucking Wes Borland in the band. Why do you need someone else to write your songs for you? One of the best riff writers ever. Like, what's going on? That's for another time, but I don't know what the hell's going on with Limp Bizkit.
People look to Bring Me, though. You know, you look about all the bands that have come out the past couple of years, kind of newer metal bands, and a lot of those bands have an edge of Bring Me sound, you know, the electronics,
all the stuff
that Jordan does. And people look to Bring Me as the kind of touchstone of contemporary metal that is able to reach a wider audience. So if you're Limp Bizkit and you've been away for years and years and you're maybe feeling a little bit trapped in time and new metal, maybe you would look to what's big now and kind of seeing how you could refresh your sound but keep the same thing. I can see the link between that song and Limp Bizkit, definitely that bounce, you know? Why
somebody in a band might think that, but that's absolute bullshit, because look at what Judas Priest have just done. They've just gone and written the most Judas Priest album ever, and it's one of the best albums they've ever done. I don't want Judas Priest to do a, you know, I don't want Judas Priest to suddenly start using synth and samples and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get you, totally.
Don't need that. So yeah, I don't know I just don't know why Limp Bizkit are asking other people to write their songs for them. They shouldn't need to. I know it's a bit of a tangent, but I want a new Limp Bizkit album.
But you know, the fact that this has been used on for Bring Me's new record suggests that maybe those sessions didn't work out.
Yeah.
Or that they just got a ton of stuff.
I don't think it did work out by the sounds of the quotes going around the internets. But there's also revealed that there's two other guests on the album.
Yeah, I'm very excited about
this. Grimes is on it.
That's yeah, cool. Which well is into sick. Grimes.
She's amazing. And the other guy, Razel, I think his name is. I can't remember, but he's a beatboxer, so fuck knows what that's going to be like. But
I do like the fact they just take chances and just do stuff. You know,
yeah,
it's
totally.
Like, oh, let's just get Danny Filth on here, let's get Grimes on here.
He's barely on it though, is he? Let's be honest. Danny's hard.
No, yeah, we said that. I think he's there for like the iconic thing of being Danny Filth and being in a video because
it's really cool that they would get that
in. Yeah, it's amazing that he's involved. But I think we're watching the video and it's like, okay, when's Danny's bit coming? When's his bit actually coming? You go, oh no, that was it. It was that tiny bit. But yeah. Maybe they'll get him out on stage one day and I'll just do a big old scream.
That'd be wild.
I did want him to do that crow sound, you know, just right in the middle of it. I'm glad you guys did it. So I
yeah, interesting. But yeah, the thing is, actually, I just kind of said I didn't like it, but I listened to it and I was in the office and I said, oh, I'm not that fussed about that. And then I caught myself singing the chorus for the next, like, hour.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's
so
like,
it's definitely an
in your face, Merlin.
Yeah.
So to be fair, that and Mantra... think of both Mantra. All right. Yeah, both all right.
I do think you could fit Mantra into this song really easily though, because it's got that same
Mantra.
Like it's sort of sticking everything. Such a good sample.
Maybe someone will do every Bring Me the Horizon song ever, like the Disturbed one, and they'll just merge them all.
Yeah, drop Mantra in everything. Heart's breaking news this week.
Oh, it hit me.
Are you okay, Elle?
I'm alright. It's been hard, but I'm okay. Yui has officially left Baby Metal.
Boo!
Mental.
I mean, there was going on for ages because she stopped playing with them. Obviously, when they played Download last year, they had five of them on stage, the two original members, Sue Metal and Moa Metal, plus three dancers.
Mm.
Was it three? It was three, wasn't it? Was it two? Two or three? Memory's bad from June. But yeah, I think it was three backing dancers. And people have just been saying for weeks, you know, what's happened to Yui? Where is she? Amuse, the talent company that managed Baby Metal, said that she was just taking some time out, she'd be coming back, and now she's put out a statement saying that's not the case, she's got long-term health issues she's dealing with and she won't be returning to Baby Metal, but she will put out some stuff under her own name at some point in the future.
Like Jerry Halliwell.
Yeah, she'll be back, she'll come crawling back. You mean?
Well, you know, the Reddit for Baby Metal is crazy. I don't know if you guys are listening, some of you might be on there, but there's just so much happens on that message board. People drill down and play detective to the nth degree on every single piece of information. So there are all kinds of rumours about why she might have left.
I've seen some fascinating theories.
I know,
so I'm not going to say
anything
because some of them are
for legal reasons, but you know.
I've seen some really fascinating stuff going on.
Yeah. So we
and I would say I'm not even saying they're rumours, they are theories, by the way, but it's...
I don't think we'll ever know, because with a band like Baby Metal, they are signed to a big company in Japan and they all have contracts and they all sign those contracts, and I don't think we'll ever really know why she's gone.
For a band that don't even use their own names, you're never going to find out why someone's left. You know, there's so much mystery going on in that band. You know, every other question is replied with only the fox god knows. You're never going to get a real...
It's a shame that the original three aren't there, but I think Baby Metal fans will still stick with them because they still want the music, they still want the performances, and I'm sure they're going to do something super weird and creative to get over her departure. You know, either they will do it with five, or
I was
going to
say, that's a big question. Is there going to be a replacement? Is there going to be another? You know, is it going to be back to three and there'll be a?
Oh, they might just do it with Sue and Mero, because again, they did that at Download and it worked fine. It's just that I think people kind of liked the personalities of the three. So, do you introduce someone else and kind of quote unquote upset the dynamic, or do you kind of keep the two together and it's just a little bit less powerful? But there's so much mythos around them. They have the thing of the one, where they all kind of this one entity, the metal resistance, you know, where they're kind of fighting against entities. This is all very vague, but with the next record, I'm sure they're going to have another big piece of story, and this might be the time where they would introduce somebody or kind of draw a line under it.
Yeah, I'm sure the Fox God could, you know, send another disciple down to Earth to join the resistance.
Exactly. That's what he does.
Yeah, here's Nui Metal. He's just like, it's the new one.
Nui Metal.
That could cause like a lot of chat and publicity to introduce somebody new. But, you know, Fox Day, I can't help but think the next record will be on Fox Day. April the 1st every year is when they make an announcement. It's like their Christmas Day, so...
Good thinking.
You can't help but think it might be then.
Good thinking.
Who knows?
Well, you'll know where to read about it first. Metalhammer.com. So keep an eye out on it. Let's take some questions from our wonderful readers at facebook.com/Metalhammer Readers. I got it right twice in one broadcast, by the way.
So proud of my boys.
Come on.
All right. Callum Reed asks... As music journalists...
That's us.
Oh, Callum. what are the cliched answers / comments from band members that annoy you the most?
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say, so can I say it and then you can confirm if I'm right?
Right.
When bands say, we're writing this like it's a movie.
Oh, I've forgotten about that one.
Oh, damn. You're not thinking
about it. I've said that before out loud. Yeah. It's one of my annoying...
Bands have a real habit at the moment of going, we treat this album like a movie and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's really... I don't know why. Yeah. You should treat it like an album because that's what it is.
I think my number one is when people say they don't want to explain the song because they want to leave it open to interpretation for people.
Greta Van Fleet.
Which, you know, I get to an extent because you don't want to explain everything and have the mystery ruined. And you do want people to... take their own meanings from something, and you know, you can't really be clinical about every single thing, but some songs there are some meanings that seem kind of so obvious or themes that seem so obvious, and it can help kind of enrich your experience to know where someone was coming from. So I find that a little bit frustrating. And also just when people say it's their heaviest album yet, or their best album yet, which, to be fair, we have just run a story on the website with Slipknot saying it's the heaviest album.
They've written the heaviest song they've written. It's not saying this is the heaviest album.
Oh, okay, because it's always going to be the best album yet if it's the one you've just done, because you're going to be the proudest of it. And the heaviest, I think, is just something that bands say all the time because they just want to go, it's the heaviest album yet, and you know, that's cool. But
I think a lot of the time as well, I know bands get understandably annoyed when journalists or fans try and pigeonhole their music or put it into a certain genre or describe it in certain terms, but I do think a lot of the time bands do tend to, like, they're not far away enough from their own work to kind of give you a fair representation of what it is, if you know what I mean. So they'll kind of go, oh yeah, it's like this, this and this and this. Like you can do a studio report with them or something and they'll be like, yeah, it sounds like this, this and this. And then 2 months later the album comes out and you're just like, what were you talking about? It's like nothing like that. So I think, you know, but which is understandable because they're totally enveloped in their own little creative hub from it, and they've been living inside this album for all this time, so it's going to have a different, it's going to mean a different thing to them to what it does to people listening to it the first time. But yeah, it's interesting. Then bands kind of, this is a classic, releasing an album saying we're taking a risk and we're doing this and that because blah 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 blah, it being crap, everyone knows it's crap, and then they come back 2 years later and go, yeah, we didn't really, this time we're writing what we want to write.
Completely.
And it's just like bands do that all the time.
When bands say it's our most personal album, and then you ask, what do you mean? No, I'm not going to tell you.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's so personal, you're not going to reveal anything about it. It's
you like, should tell me all your life story now. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, can I have any quote to put? No, fine, sweet, thanks.
Yeah, it's...
heaviest and most melodic album, yes. Always our most experimental. That's another one.
Experimental.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't mind if people say it. I mean, it is a bit of a cliche, but if people say it and then it turns out they've got like crazy, insane stuff on it and like interesting guest stars and things, then yeah, totally. But it's if people say it and there's nothing to back it up.
Yeah, exactly, you have to back it up. Yeah, just, you know. There are cliches, there's platitudes saying, oh, it's heavy, oh, it's experimental, oh, it's melodic. Like, can you explain more? Can you give us more detail than that? No. But yeah, like you say, but yeah, they don't have to tell us anything. Yeah, we're very lucky for a position to talk to these people.
You know, metal bands aren't, you know, they're not media personalities by nature. You get the occasional kind of rock star that breaks through, but generally speaking, these are just people like us that like metal, and they play metal and they write what they're feeling, and that's it. And then they get stuck in front of a microphone. They're expected to just come out with amazing sound bites and kind of accurate descriptions of what's going on, and you know, that's not really part of their job description, it's something that they just
and most people don't speak in cliches. Actually, you do tend to find it's the younger bands that speak in cliches, and I think sometimes it's because they're not very experienced and aren't sure what to say, and at other times I think it's because they're saying what they think bands say. If they've heard other bands say it's the heaviest album or it's this or it's that, it's almost like those guys picking up on that and saying something which they think a band would say. So I think sometimes you do get a bit of that with younger bands.
Yeah, definitely. Ruben Borger asks, what do you think are the most disappointing music videos you've seen?
Well, I went to a screening last night of Lacuna Coil's new film, which is their concert film that was made in London in January for their 20th anniversary show, 119. And it was pretty cool. They had, obviously, circus performers at that show, and the camera work kind of reflects that. It's very theatrical and all this kind of special stuff. They had a Q&A before it, which was done by Malcolm Dome, who's in...
Mel Hammer legend.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. Don't need to say anything more than that, really.
And the man who invented the term thrash metal, for people who aren't familiar.
He's got his own Wikipedia page. That's how important he is.
And Christina Scabbia was talking about their first music video, which apparently was sold to them as being this amazing Matrix-style film where they would be in this room and all this black would envelop them and Christina would be sort of separated from the band, all this kind of stuff. And they were super excited because they'd never done a video before, because back in those days it was very expensive to produce videos. So it was their first time. And then when they got there, they said there was like a bathtub with rose petals in and a couple of candlesticks. And the director kind of went, oh, we haven't actually really... got any money, so it's not going to be what you thought it was. So it was, I think the question to her was, what's your cringiest moment? And she kind of said this video was not what we wanted to be. It turned out to be very kind of cheesy. So that kind of came to mind when thinking about the most disappointing music videos. Just,
that's Christina Scabbia's answer.
It is.
What's yours?
Just came to mind because, you know, she said that they it didn't go very well. But I struggle because I didn't have music TV until I was 17, so I didn't really see a lot of rock and metal videos.
I don't think I've ever been disappointed by a music video. That's the thing. I think I've ever turned it on and gone, oh, what is this? I hate lyric videos. I couldn't give less of a shit
about a lyric video.
Most of the time, they highlight how bad your lyrics are.
True.
It's like metal bands, like, on the whole, some of their lyrics are just a bit silly. And you're watching them flash up at you, written in a distressed font. And you're like, oh, fuck it.
I can't like lyric videos if it's a certain band, because sometimes I can't pick out all the words. I'm like, that's what it is. But tech metal bands, I think, maybe are the worst, because their lyrics are often kind of slightly dystopian and they just don't make any sense. Love them. Love tech metal.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because I kind of feel, I've talked about this with a few people recently, I kind of feel like music videos are becoming a really important medium again, which is great, because a lot of fans, especially younger fans, really use YouTube as a way to consume and, you know, experience music.
Yeah, yeah.
There are loads of bands out there. We talked about, like, the Disturbed video for Sound of Silence. What's another Bad Rules video for their Zombie cover as well. Those are both covers, so that's quite a specific example. But in a lot of cases, you see bands whose videos have more views than their songs have streams, if you know what I mean. So I think the medium's becoming quite important again, which is great, because it means, you know, hopefully more money will get put into that kind of stuff and bands can be creative again. But in terms of bands that have been disappointing, now, I actually really like the song, and I think the album's massively underrated that it came from. But when Marilyn Manson released The High End of Low, there was he released a song with From America, which is great. And then the next song he was releasing off the back of that, I think it was the next one anyway, or one of the singles, was I'm a Goddamn Motherfucking Geddon.
Yeah,
so
I'm
sure I get that right. Now, for Marilyn Manson to release a really good, heavy song first, and then you hear that the next song he's releasing is called I'm a Goddamn Motherfucking Get It, you're like, this is going to be, like, vintage, heavy, pissed off, fast, angry Marilyn Manson. And then it's not. It's kind of a ploddy, kind of bouncy, weird, kind of circusy song.
Right.
And in the video, he's just kind of cocking about with a lamp and... well, it looks like he's hiding under a blanket and stuff. I don't know what the hell's going on. And I remember watching that and just being a bit like, but the song, since then, I've actually really got into the song, and I think that The High and the Low is his most underrated album. It's a great record. Iron Maiden's videos have never been great.
the video for
Wildest Dreams, I was really excited about, because Dance of Death was the first new album Maiden have brought out since I got into them. And they've never been... The video's always been fun and daft and cheesy, but that Wildest Dreams one where it's got, like, a really bad computer-generated Maiden driving around a roller coaster with Big Eddie in the background is not great.
What's the one where they're, like, in the church and it's got Matey Boy from Monty Python in it?
Bloody... That's kind of Playwright Madness, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I quite like that one. It's cheesy and silly.
No, that's not. That's got the other guy in it. Oh, God. I'm shedding Maiden fan points now.
I'm going to take away your card.
I don't have a card. who the fuck? Oh, God. I'm going to have to look it up. That's really annoying. It was all before my time as a radio.
But I've always thought Maiden have put quite a bit of effort in, and maybe they've not always looked
great. They did
great.
Back in the day.
What's the new one? The one they released for Off Book of Souls is like a video game.
That was quite good.
Actually. I quite like that.
That was quite good. Yeah, that was a good video. I mean, they're rarely even in their videos anymore. I'm just trying to think. Like, Wicker Man was all right. It was them in a field with a burning eddy behind them.
A Wicker Man, you might say.
A Wicker Man, yes. A burning Wicker Eddy. Wicker Lad.
What's wrong with you?
Like, no.
Oh, I'm so...
But overall, they're, I don't know. They're kind of either knowingly tacky or just not great.
I'm massively videos. Struggling with this one. I can only think of good ones. That's not the right answer.
No, it's not. And neither is Christina Scabbia's answer.
I can't think of anything. I'm going to have to like come back another day.
It's fine.
Think of something.
Let's do another question instead.
Let's do that.
Got some more good ones.
Jack Kirby Lowe asks, bearing in mind this month's Rob Zombie guest edit, I wanted to know how guest edits on magazines work and come together. Presumably Rob didn't come into the office for months.
Well, he might have.
You don't know.
No, he didn't. It's a really good question. We've done a few of these over the years. The last one we did before Rob Zombie, I believe, was when Corey Taylor did a guest edit with us. And what it basically means is we'll have an idea for a cover, and it will normally tie into a theme. So in this case, we thought, let's do a horror issue. Let's do a kind of Halloween issue. What could we do with that? And so we came up with some ideas for hashtag content, which is where the ideas for bands interviewing horror legends came in, or the rest of it. Kirk Hammett, we kind of had that idea of him being in there early on, etc., etc. And then we kind of thought, how do we tie all this together? And so the idea came up of getting Rob Zombie to guest edit it, and kind of the main interview with him. And so what that means is we'll basically put stuff through him that we're thinking about putting in. He'll kind of talk about what he likes, what he doesn't like. And he'll kind of give us some insight onto his relationship with those bands and everything, and he might suggest some stuff to go in as well. You know, the Nicolas Cage thing was a great example of that, because it just so happened that he knows Nicolas Cage really well. Nicolas Cage had a new film coming out, so he tied it together into something really good, so it connected up. It's a lot of to and fro-ing, basically. It's kind of a lot of stuff going over email, us sending them stuff going, what do you think of this, or how will we do this? Working with him on the cover concept as well. You know, we have some ideas. Rob's always got some ideas because he's very creative. It's just a really fun process, and it normally comes out of a meeting room where somebody will just go, we should try this, and everyone goes, that'll never work, and then we make it work, because that's what we do, like magicians. We
make dreams happen.
Yeah,
like Disney
horror dreams.
So yeah,
nightmares. Come on. That's what a horror dream is.
That's kind of how it goes. Sometimes they have a bit more involvement. We had Corey, when Corey Taylor did the Slipknot guest edit, we had him actually interview the what's his name, Robert Kirkman, the Walking Dead artist,
Charlie Adlard.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the other guy. Yeah, Charlie Adlard. We had him interview him for like a Walking Dead special.
All over the place today.
I know, it really is, isn't it? That was really good, and he was more involved in that. And I'm just trying to think when we did another one. It's been a while. Villa Velo did a guest edit many years ago, I think, to remember.
Oh, nice.
That was quite cool. So yeah, it's not the kind of thing you can do with any band you want to put on the cover, but it's got to be someone that you know is going to want to be involved, is creative, and is an interesting personality. So if you have any thoughts on who you'd like to see do a guest edit, please do let us know on our Facebook page. Definitely open to ideas on that front.
Scottie Tompul asks, what is your favourite horror movie?
Yes!
It's hard to choose just one. The Thing, I've got a lot of time for. Big fan of it. Anything with that sort of puppetry, animatronic gore, I'm from the past, I'm a big fan of, really. But then at the same time, I love Alien. I if you can class Alien as a horror film, which I do.
Because it is.
Well, yeah,
scary.
Some people think it's not a horror film.
Who doesn't think Alien is a horror movie?
So I've had arguments on the internet about Alien. Oh, no, it's a sci-fi adventure. Like, it's fucking not.
It's literally about a monster chasing people and killing them in really scary ways.
I'm on your side.
What about that bit in the director's cut where the person is stuck in the top of the ship and is all trapped and all their skin's molded into the ship and they whisper, kill me? It's horrible.
That is in Aliens, which is more of a sci-fi action horror. But yes, that is very good as well.
I prefer Aliens to Alien. But in terms of straight up horror, I prefer Alien.
The Devil's Rejects, I think, is fucking brilliant as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Our guest editor.
I didn't realise, to be fair, it got a bit of a kick in when I was reading reviews of it a while ago. But I really, really, really like Devil's Rejects. I think the soundtrack's amazing.
I think it's just good fun.
It's good fun.
You wouldn't put it in the same category as like The Shining or something.
No, exactly.
It's just a good laugh.
Well, it's just, you know, hillbillies going around killing people. Like, yep, fine. I'm in on that. What else have I got? I mean, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, obviously. And the original Halloween. I've got a lot. I think I have all the slashes.
And the new one's very good as well.
Yeah, I really like the new one.
Really good fun.
I think out of Freddy, Jason, and Mike Myers is my favourite.
Oh, no, come on.
Yeah, boy.
No, yes. No way.
Because he's
about Freddy.
I've come on. Outside of the first one, I'm not bothered about Nightmare on Elm Street, really.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street's got a way better sequel record than Halloween, though.
Yeah, but as an actual, you know, entity, Mike Myers is way better. He's just like, fucking indestructible and solid and will murder people with my bare hands.
Yeah, but Freddy not Kruger, just, man.
Oh, fucking Edward Scissorhands in your dreams.
That's the film. Yeah, I think that's what Wes Craven pitched 10 years before Edward Scissorhands came out, definitely.
Yeah, Mike Myers is the one out of those three.
He's the OG, but I don't know if I can say that. I adore horror. It's my favourite genre of music, of movie for sure. Maybe music as well, fuck it. The Thing is probably my all time favourite, speaking of Carpenter. Just an absolute masterpiece of suspense and like Rick Button's special effects. Oh my god.
They're so good, aren't they?
Like, they, apart from there's one slightly dodgy one where blood's squirted out of the dog alien that looks looks pretty dated now, but the rest of it is, I would take that over, and I sound old now, I'd take that over any CGI wizardry ever.
Yeah,
I'm not
seeing the remake because for that reason.
No, it's kind of like a prequel reboot thing.
Oh, is it? Oh, weird.
But yeah, the same people were involved in making all the animatronics for that, and then they got rid of most of it and just put in CGI instead.
Sick!
So ridiculous. Yeah, I love The Thing. Alien would definitely be in my top five as well. As would be A Nightmare on Elm Street. I think Kruger's the man out of all that lot. Like, I can watch most of that franchise. Some of it gets a bit stupid later on, but I love Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Dream Warriors is wicked. Wes Craven's new Nightmare is great. Freddy vs. Jason, really underrated in my opinion. Actually, I say Freddy's my main man, but Hellraiser's one of my all time favourites.
Yeah,
and Pinhead, who is in our current issue of course, is absolutely my favourite horror icon of all time. I think his one liners are amazing. I love that he's not really a true antagonist. He's kind of this like passive vehicle for horror. And I love that in him. And I really like all the Hellraiser sequels as well, even the shit ones. I love Hellraiser 3, which is basically just a cheesy slasher film. I love the one in space, which is Hellraiser 4. Hellraiser 5, which is this kind of weird detective movie with Pinhead kind of shoehorned into it. I love them all. God, what else? I've gone for hours. American Werewolf in London, Evil Dead 1, 2 and 3, and the reboot.
The reboot
was amazing.
I thought was amazing. The final so scene good. With all the
speaking
blood,
of practical
so
special effects, like,
yeah.
Just fantastic.
Jaws.
Jaws, yeah, Jaws is good.
Nah,
I'm not
Jaws.
It is brilliant. It doesn't really scare me very much.
I think it's
really.
Just anti-shark propaganda.
Very true. I agree. More recent ones, The Witch, I think is one of the best horrors of the last few years.
Did you watch the VHS films?
Yes,
great
shout.
They were amazing.
You know what? I think the second one's the best one as well. The one with the when they go to that weird getaway and it all goes to shit, and then the guy turns into a goat monster.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, that was a great film. Drag Me to Hell, I love as well.
Yeah.
The
Saw films up to a point I quite like.
Yeah, Saw films are good fun. First one's really good. Your Next is great. God. What I watched recently? Train to Busan. Oh my god!
I don't know that one.
I only got it because you can get it on Netflix US, and I was in the US the other week, so I could download it and then watch it afterwards. It's a Korean zombie movie,
cool.
And it's absolutely amazing. Obviously, speaking of Asian horror, like Ringu and the original Grudge, The Eye.
So scary.
Grim. Can't think of any other classics I left off. Friday the 13th is all right. Lots of good deaths across the franchise, but. Bit up and down. God, Scream's pretty good.
I quite like the first one. Yeah,
it's good fun. Kind of ruined horror for a bit because there was just all these terrible teen slasher films coming out afterwards. But
I know we did Last Summer, all that bollocks.
Yeah.
So,
What was your last Cabin in the Woods?
Oh, okay, that's really good fun.
Yeah,
right?
Cabin in the Woods.
I have to say as well, horror purists in quotation marks tend to be snide about it, but I think Paranormal Activity is wicked. So good.
Which one was that?
The one is the film.
Oh no, yeah, yeah. I remember that coming out of uni and people genuinely shitting themselves and like,
yeah, I thought it was scary
as shit. Not wanting to sleep alone, and I was like, nah. I didn't think it was that scary. I thought it was good the way it was done, but I was like,
I loved
nah,
it.
This is
the bit when the weird feet come through the powder shit me.
Did you not think it was really funny though? The whole time I was like, this is just fucking nonsense. Like,
no, I didn't.
Genuinely, I was like,
I honestly didn't. I can be quite cynical with that kind of stuff, and I thought it was, or maybe I'm not cynical enough. I thought it was great. Saw Hereditary the other month. That's pretty good.
I've heard that's really good.
Yeah, it's mental. You need to watch it a couple of times for it to click though.
Can I pick mine?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to shout now. Yeah,
just shouting film names at each other for a bit.
Nosferatu. Because it's got giant hands.
Good.
I thought that was a really good choice, and then you just ruined it.
The German Expressionist one, black and white.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's creepy.
One of the greatest, most important horror movies.
I really like that one.
What else, Al?
What else? Well, this is a horror comedy, but Zombieland.
Oh, it's a great film.
I love Zombieland so much.
So good.
It's a great film. And I feel like I have to say this, although you guys are going to say it's not a horror film, because it's not. The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes,
it's not a horror film.
It's a musical.
It's a Christmas musical.
Yeah, but I feel like if we're talking about horror films, it's because of Halloween, and that's the ultimate Halloween film.
Yeah, but you just because it's got a skeleton in it.
The
Addams Family isn't a horror film.
I'm having it anyway,
okay.
So.
You saying. What did you say? Zombieland made me think of more zombie films. The Living Dead trilogy, obviously amazing. Day of the Dead is actually my favourite out of the three.
Interesting.
And have you seen Wreck?
Yeah.
No, but I've heard
it's
very good.
Oh my god, speaking of found footage. So if there's one horror from the last 10 years, it might be a bit more than that now actually, but if one horror from the 21st century that I think everyone should watch, I'll say go see Wreck 1 and 2.
That's about 10 years.
Spanish speaking, or just Spanish, we've done there. Spanish horror film. A TV crew is in a high-rise building making a documentary and things go awry.
Mm-hmm.
And what you think it is, you think it's just a straight-up zombie movie, but it goes way darker than that. Oh, it's so good. We should probably talk about Metal again now. Just talk forever.
Kirk Hammett picks his favourite horror films in
he
the
does.
Issue of Hammer.
He does. Kirk picks some really, really cool left-field choices.
Tusk,
he does,
which
yeah.
Kevin Smith picked up on Twitter. Tusk, I thought, was a fantastic movie. I love Kevin Smith, so I just thought I'd watch it, and I didn't really know going in what I was going to get. And then it's kind of like grotesque and brilliant and funny and black, and it kind of makes your stomach churn because you keep thinking there'll be some kind of redemption, and there isn't. And the final scene, you're just like, oh, this is really, really wrong. I don't want to give spoilers, so that's basically this.
It's grim.
Something to do with the walrus, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, exactly. That's quite a big spoiler.
It's called Tusk. There's Tusk in it.
Okay.
It's to do with the walrus.
Yeah, Kirk Hammett picks kind of like left field, not obvious horror movies you need to watch, and it is a really good list. I consider myself a bit horror geek, and I haven't seen about three or four of them, so
well,
I've got homework to do.
Well, I was still talking about movies before we sign off. I went to see the Bohemian Rhapsody movie yesterday.
Yeah, how was that?
Thought it was really good.
Cool.
Really enjoyed it. I'm a big Queen fan, and I thought Rami Malek was amazing as Freddie Mercury, and yeah, it's genuinely quite touching at times. It was very sweet. It bit misses out a few bits of Freddie's life, but yeah, they've only got a certain amount of runtime, so deal with it. I quite enjoyed it.
Cool. Worth few beers?
Yeah, it's well worth watching. There's a few bits of sing-alongs in it. It's quite funny in places. It's very British. Mike Myers off of Wayne's World plays their first label manager, and he's really
no way.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was at the premiere yesterday. He's like, oh my god,
what?
Yeah,
he's
like, oh my god, it's Mike Myers.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's like a really, really subtle nod to Wayne's World in the film, which is quite nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. But yeah, I think it's really good. Do it. Watch that film when it's out, which I think is now.
Watch that film and then watch all the horror movies because it's spooky season. And then when you've watched all the horror movies, pick up our horror issue because it's bloody wicked. You can also get involved in the Slayer cover, as we said before. Send us a photo of yourself throwing the Slayer horns. I don't know what Slayer horns are. Just throwing the horns is fine. But make sure you're shouting Slayer. Send it to metalhammer@futurenet.com and you will be on our mega Slayer cover in December. We will see you next week. Are there any gigs coming up, or have we done them all for the year?
I'm going to see Turnstile on Friday.
Oh, nice.
I might be going to see Turnstile on Friday. I forgot it was on.
Why don't you just come, Luke?
I might do.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year. There's loads of gigs on. Also, it was Can I Play With Madness.
Oh, thank you. Good. Yeah, I just double checked. I was going to double check that afterwards. So, yeah, it was Can I Play With Madness. Yeah. So,
well
fuck
done.
You. I do know what I'm talking
about. We got there in the end, guys.
Well, I got there to start with, but
well
never
done.
Mind. We will see you next week. Buy the new issue. Be on a Slayer cover. Be a part of the Metal Armor family, guys.
Metal.
Yeah. Subscribe on iTunes and Acast and listen to us on Spotify and leave us reviews and just talk about us because we're the best. See you
tell
next week.
Friends.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.